This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour two of the Blitz, starting right now, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, live on 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, and on your free Fan Run Radio app. If you don't have the Fan Run Radio app, what are you doing? You know, you listen to us. We've been telling you need to get it. It doesn't cost anything. Probably the easiest way to listen, honestly. I mean,
even if it did cost something, it'd still be worth it. But it doesn't, so.
Yeah, I mean, stop, you know. What if you're driving somewhere and then, you know, you get to where you're going, but you're not done listening. Now you can just take it inside on the app. So go ahead and download that app. And if you want to call in, talk to us on the G3 Helpy Hotlines. That number, 865-546-8200. Again, 865-546-8200. But let's get a little opening drive going to start this second hour. Got some stories to get to. And first down, Dickie V. Unfortunately, I know he is battling cancer, but Dickie V has now had or is having surgery on his vocal cords, on his lungs or in his throat, and is now not going to be able to call any games the rest of the year. He is eyeing a return next season. So hopefully everything works out for old Dickie V. Not going to see him the rest of the year, though. Kind of sad. I enjoyed seeing him a couple times a year. Honestly, you know, kind of started to like him again this year. I was getting tired of him. I thought he was losing his touch. But this year when we were getting him in small doses, it was kind of nice. It was like, all right, just enough Dickie V here and there to make me enjoy it again.
Yeah, I know we've all said that Dickie V's been annoying in the past. I mean, he has been, but the guy loves the game of college basketball. He's such a great humanitarian. You wish nothing but the best for him. It's much like Lee Corso in college football. College basketball just has a sound to it, and when you think of college basketball, you think of Dickie V's voice.
Well, second down. Here's a fun one for you. Tennessee committed 3 NCAA violations. Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
We're new violations, unrelated to anything in the past that were reported today.
Any of them involve a barbecue?
No. however, they are pretty funny. Good old NCAA finding all the kind of the best weird things to get mad at. You want to hear what these violations are?
Sure.
Well, the Knoxville News Sentinel, via a public records request, were able to unseal university documents detailing the final quarter of the 2021 season. In that document, there were 3 self-reported violations. The first being prospective recruits walked along the path of current players' Vol walks before the Ole Miss game. Did not know that was even not allowed. But I remember actually before the Ole Miss game trying to get to the Fan Run tailgate we were having in G3. Or G10, or G, you know, the infamous parking lot.
Yeah.
But I was trying to get there, me and my parents were, and we got stuck in the Vol walk, basically, so we couldn't go anywhere. until it was over. And I remember seeing all the recruits and seeing Walter Nolan walk down the ball walk. So I guess you can't do that. I don't know. The other two minor violations occurred when the assistant director of Olympic sports performance publicly publicizing voluntary workouts by student athletes on social media last summer. Can't do that, apparently. But here is my favorite one. Tennessee self-reported a recruiting violation when a recruit dribbled a basketball on the floor of Thompson Bowling as they were taking their recruiting pictures. They can hold the basketball, they can take their pictures in the jerseys, but whatever they do, you can't dribble that basketball, and he took a couple dribbles, so Tennessee had to self-report it.
Do you think, like, they're lining up to take the pictures, and this kid, like, dribbles the basketball?
Everyone
the
just stops. Like, no! Stop! No, whatever you do, don't you cross anyone over. You know, don't dribble between the legs. We might lose a scholarship if you dribble between the legs.
Basketball. If you shoot it.
If you shoot it, Rick Barnes is getting fired. That's too much. You know, how dare he dribble a basketball once or twice, maybe even thrice.
Have you ever seen somebody to pick up a basketball and not dribble it, though? Like, it's impossible to do. It's second nature.
If you have a basketball in your hands, you're going to put the basketball on the ground and, you know, do your thing. So, kind of weird that, I love when universities self-report violations, because more often than not, they are always just, like, weird, funny things. So no dribbling basketballs, no walking through the vol walk, and whatever you do, assistant Olympic sports training coach, don't you dare tweet about publicized voluntary workouts again. Come on. You got to know better. But third down, one, Thomas Brady. Uh-oh. Thomas Edward Brady.
That Brady?
He really might retire. He really might retire. Some interesting quotes yesterday. He indicated on Monday, really, that his family will play a substantial role in determining whether he will return to play next season. He also said that if this is it, you know, he could walk away proud and satisfied even after the divisional loss. Quote, I think as I've gotten older, I think the best part is football is extremely important to my life, and it means a lot to me. And I care a lot about what we're trying to accomplish as a team, and I care a lot about my teammates. The bigger difference is now that I'm older is I have kids too, you know, and I care a lot about them as well. They've been my biggest supporters. My wife is my biggest supporter. It pains her to see me get hit out there. And she deserves what she needs from me as a husband, and my kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. I'm going to spend some time with them, give them what they need, because they've been really giving to me. Pretty interesting. It feels like this is the closest we've seen Brady get to retiring.
I think he's really considering it for the first time ever. And as a selfish Titans fan, I don't think it's good if he retires. Because if he retires, that opens up the NFC South wide open, which means Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, some of these bigger named quarterbacks could see an opportunity with the Saints as a potential landing spot. If Brady's there, you probably don't see one of those go to the Saints, because they don't want to have to compete in the same division as Brady. But at the same hand, Tom Brady is 44 years old. He'll be 45 for next season. I mean, good Lord, man. Like, you can't play forever.
I can't imagine the NFL without Tom Brady. He started, what, 2004?
No, 2002? 2000, I think. 2000 or 2001.
So I don't think I've seen... I mean, I guess infant me saw it, but I don't think I've seen an NFL without Tom Brady in my lifetime. That's weird to think about. Very weird to think about it. Well, fourth down, the Tennessee Titans are parting ways with four coaches.
Not the one we want, though.
Not the one we want at all. However, they are parting ways with inside linebackers coach Jim Haslett, assistant defensive line coach Kenichi Udoze, assistant special teams coach Matt Edwards, and assistant strength and conditioning coach Mondre Gee. There's going to be more coming. I don't think this is it.
Well, Vrabel gave a...
But he did, yeah, yesterday he did give a vote of confidence to Todd Downing, which, to be fair... He was asked about Todd Downing, and Mike Vrabel is the kind of guy that will never throw his own coaches under the bus.
Right.
Publicly.
Well, Mike Mularkey's downfall was he refused to get rid of his OC. That was what ultimately led to Mularkey getting fired from the Titans.
Right.
I really hope it's not the case for Vrabel, because I don't want to lose Vrabel. I know he's made some boneheaded decisions, but he gets the most out of his guys. He's a good head coach.
Right. The vote of confidence to me, I wouldn't read too much into it. With that being said, I still don't expect Todd Downing to be fired, unfortunately. It does feel like we're running it back with Tannehill and Downing. However, you did see, this same situation play out a year ago with Shane Bowen, and Mike Vrabel bet on his coordinator instead of his roster, and then him and John Robinson worked together to fix... that side of the football, basically.
Yeah, but that was more so Vrabel. Vrabel was running the defense when they were so bad.
However, I don't think the same situation will play out with Todd Downing. It's hard to give him a lot. Obviously, with the injuries, that's tough. But it's hard to really improve a whole lot with that offense outside of a tight end, which doesn't change anything, substantially.
You got to throw to the tight end to have a...
Yeah, you need to, improve that offensive line maybe a little bit. I think Saffold is probably out.
Saffold's probably out.
I could see LeJuan
might be out.
I could see you really shaking up the offensive line, or I could see you trying to run it back again with pretty much the same group and adding depth pieces.
I think you need to get a right tackle, an actual solid.
I think Questenberry played pretty well this year.
He was our lowest graded lineman.
I really like the way Aaron Brewer played when he filled in, and... I think that Nate Davis is the kind of guy that can slide over to center when Ben Jones is gone. He might be gone this offseason, and you could put
I think Ben Brewer Jones is going to run it right back
guard.
One year.
You could put Brewer at right guard. Radunes, obviously, Radunes. His development slowed because you chose to basically turn him into a guard. But then he played left tackle in that spot start and played really well. So you got to imagine he factors into the offensive line next year. So that'll be interesting. However, I don't think you're going to see Todd Downing get fired, which is frustrating. You saw, one position coach and three assistants. I think you might see a couple more coaches get fired. I don't really know what the deal is with the Titans' strength and conditioning staff, but... I saw that we fired one assistant strength coach. I can't imagine everyone else that's still there is keeping their job for another year, that there's not some shakeup there, given all the injuries that this team suffered and given the similarity in a lot of the injuries as well. Given that you played 91 players in a singular season, there's got to be some sort of shakeup with that staff, I imagine. So we'll see. But that's some Titans news for you. That is an opening drive for you. And on the other side, well, we'll get into something here on The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. An absolute banger. Shout out to GP3.
Classic.
Tyler Childers. Best... best country artist currently making music, arguably. Either him, Cody Johnson, or Cody
Johnson's
Jinx.
Up there.
It's either Johnson Jinx or Tyler Childers to me right now. But nice little bumper there. It's a Tuesday. You know what that means? Maybe.
It's a state day?
it is a state day. Oh, good call. I forgot about that. I got to start thinking now, but it's also an updated bracket for Mr. Joey Brackets himself, Joe Lenardi, And the SEC going to be very, very active within the bubble this year. Which means that you're going to have some really desperate teams and some really fun games this final month and a half. But looking at the updated bracketology, your number one overall seed, the Auburn Tigers, your last four in right now, Oregon, San Diego State, San Francisco, and the last team in the field, the Florida Gators. They fell from in the field to the last team in. They weren't even in the last four byes yesterday, so they dropped a decent amount after losing to Ole Miss last night. So they will be a desperate team when you play them tomorrow night. And then your first four out includes Arkansas and Mississippi State, as well as Michigan and Wyoming. And A&M is on the next four out. So
I'm surprised Florida's still last four.
Four bubble teams.
Especially after last night.
I don't get it. Honestly, I feel like
I think they're just getting the benefit of the doubt because they're Florida.
Well, Mississippi State has a better resume, I think. I mean, I would consider their resume at least equal. Florida had some good early wins. But they also, I mean, they have some bad losses, man. Some embarrassing, ugly, no good losses.
I mean, last night was a bad loss.
Certainly not a good one. I mean, at least it was on the road, so I guess maybe it's quadrant one.
Probably still quadrant two.
I don't know where Ole Miss is at right now in the net rankings, but I mean, yes, Florida did beat Mississippi State, but that was at home. They haven't really had a quote unquote good win since November when they beat Ohio State. And, you know, that's a good win, but not even, like, an amazing win, I guess. You know, Mississippi State, I guess, could maybe be considered a good win. But this team lost to Maryland, who's really bad. Got blown out by a mediocre Oklahoma team. Maybe, a, you know, slightly above average Oklahoma team. And they got beat by, most notably, Texas Southern. They got run off the court at home. I love getting to talk about that any chance you can. So, to me, it's surprising that they're still last four in. I would think that Arkansas, Mississippi State, or Texas A&M all have a better argument.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Texas A&M played a disgustingly awful non-conference schedule, but...
You know, well, so did LSU, but...
Yeah, they did.
But LSU's a good team. But what's really shocking to me is Michigan.
They're bad.
Yeah, and they started the season preseason ranked 6.
Think so, maybe even higher.
No, I mean I know for a fact it's 6. Yeah. I looked it up.
Right now, Tennessee, where do you think they're at?
Right now, it got to be after yesterday after Saturday a 4 seed. If they were a 5 seed before,
you are correct. They are a 4 seed. In terms of seeding itself, they are. Let's see, I just had it here. The 15th seed. Like, period, like the 15th team, yeah. Which puts them as the third four seed, which would put them with the second 3 seed, the third 2 seed, and the second 1 seed, Gonzaga, Duke, Michigan State.
Oh, that would be a tough bracket.
Yeah. That's kind of gross.
Move us back to the 5 seed.
I don't like that at all. I'm surprised they didn't move up with A&M losing. I guess maybe I thought there would be a little bit of a reshuffle. But, yeah, Tennessee, a 4 seed, projected to play in Pittsburgh against UTC. Obviously, that doesn't really mean a whole lot at this point in time. You know, you're supposed to
be a lot of stuff's going to change.
And, yeah, but
these aren't projections. These are right now, basically.
Yeah, like this is right now, so... And if the season ended right now, Joe Lunardi thinks you'd be playing Chattanooga in Pittsburgh. And if you won, you would play 5 seed Alabama, which would be really funny.
That never happens, though, does it? Like, it's very rare that you would play a conference opponent in the second round.
Very rare. Conference breakdown, the Big 12. We currently have 8 teams, Big 10 and Big East, 7 apiece, and the SEC, 6. that's where you're at in terms of how the conferences are shaking up. As for potential, you know, 13 seeds that you could see if you are a 4 seed, I do think that you end up being a 4 seed at the end, when all said and done, a 3 at best. But other 13 seeds right now projected by Lunardi, some dangerous teams. You have Vermont, who is good year in and year out. You have Toledo. They just ran Ohio off the floor. Very good, smart, mature mid-major. Chattanooga would probably be, you know, the worst of these projected teams. And then South Dakota State is projected as a 13 seed. And they're one of the last teams in the tournament I want to play if you're Tennessee. They would be one of the worst possible matchups for Tennessee out of anyone in this field that is a 10 seed or lower. They would, by far, in my opinion, be the worst matchup. They are one of the most explosive offensive teams in the country, and they shoot and shoot and shoot. And I think they're probably going to win the summit, so I would be scared of them. But that's what your bracket looks like as of today. I love bracketology. I really do. Looking at some notable scores from last night, obviously you had one really good game last night, but you know, there are some other things that happened too. You had Wake Forest. Just want to give a second to just shout them out real quick. Wake Forest beat Boston College 87-57, and they are absolutely rolling right now. You know, they beat UNC by 22. They blew out last year's winner, Georgia Tech. You know, they beat Florida State by 20. Steve Forbes, very good. He's done a very good job. Wake Forest didn't play that hard of a non-conference schedule because they didn't expect to be where they're at this point in time in their rebuild. So, you know, their toughest game was probably LSU. So that's not great for them, and that'll hurt them. You know, they still are further down than they would be normally at 17-4 because of that. But everyone wants to talk about Kim English. Everyone wants to talk about Desmond Oliver. You know, when they were bringing up potential replacements for Rick Barnes, potential next Tennessee coaches. I think your answer is right there in front of you in Forbes.
Steve Forbes.
I mean, he was, you know, he's obviously familiar with East Tennessee when he was at ETSU. He obviously was pretty incredible at ETSU. And all he does is coach ball. You know, all he does is just build these good teams, these good programs. I mean, very quickly, you know, he's taken a team that Danny Manning had ruined, had put into the gutter, into the dumpster, you know, that were winning less than 10 games a year. Very quickly now he has them as, you know, unless barring a February collapse, looks to be a tournament team in Winston-Salem, excuse me. So just wanted to recognize him real quick. Other than that, last night, not a lot of great basketball. Obviously, we already mentioned Florida got upset, but you did have one game that was up there for game of the year. Yeah. Texas Tech at Kansas. Texas Tech beat Kansas the first time these two teams met at home. Last night, you know, we get a slower paced first half, a real back and forth first half before Kansas starts to pull away in the second half. You know, they get up 10 points with about 10 minutes left. A little less. And then Texas Tech went on a big run. They did. And they ended up forcing overtime, or they actually went up before Kansas tied it to force overtime. Then they went up again in the first overtime. Kansas came back to tie it a second time. And then in the second overtime, it was Oche Agbaje. I can't say it very well, but that ended up pulling them to victory, 94-91 in two overtimes. Both of these teams, man, are good. The Big 12 is so much fun. I mean, last night you had Williams for Texas Tech, Bryson Williams, one of their senior leaders, go for 33. And he was outscored on the other end by Agbaje, who dropped 37. And both of them shot, you know, a pretty efficient number, too. Williams was 14 of 19, And Igbaje was 13 of 23. So watching those two guys go at it, Igbaje hit 7 3-pointers, including the game-tying one. He hit some absolutely incredible threes. So last night, that was a really fun game. I hope you watched it. If you didn't, I don't know what you're doing. Yeah. But
there's good sports on all year round now. I mean, it's, now that football's over, just devote your attention to basketball.
Well, last night delivered. You only got one good game, really, unfortunately, but last night delivered. You also had St. John's beat the snot out of Seton Hall. Not good for Seton Hall. Not good for my guy Kevin Willard. But yeah, that's what you had last night. Tonight, not the best Tuesday we've ever seen. The ACC is already ruining Big Monday because they all suck. Tuesday this week, not great. You have two top 25 matchups. Michigan State, Illinois should be really fun. And, you know, there are still good games. I guess you just don't have an abundance of them. You have Arizona and UCLA at 11 p.m. tonight. That should be a thriller. Arizona, to me, is probably the second best team in the country behind Auburn. I think they're better than Gonzaga at this point, even though they did lose to Tennessee. And they haven't
They played Tennessee at Tennessee. That's no shame in losing
it. Exactly.
Thompson Bowling.
I mean, they are statistically incredible. Ben Mathurin is amazing. He averages 18 a game right now. But watching him and Johnny Juzang go at it tonight, it's going to be a lot of fun. So that should be really fun if you feel like staying up late. And then Mississippi State, Kentucky tonight too. Semi-intriguing just because, you know, you don't know the status of Ty. Washington, obviously, I'm pretty sure he's not playing. High ankle sprain for him. He suffered in the loss at Auburn Saturday. And Iverson Molinar for Mississippi State is a star at the guard position. He's getting 18 a game. He's averaging over 20 points a game in SEC play right now. He is a certified star, and Mississippi State really would love to win one of their next two games, either at Kentucky or at Texas Tech, to, you know, get them off the bubble for the time being. So that could be a pretty fun game tonight, you know, without Ty, and then with Molinar,
yeah,
if he has a big game. So that's another one to look out for. Kentucky is a 9.5-point favorite. Arizona, by the way, 3.5-point favorite on the road. I would maybe take UCLA there, even though I did just speak so highly of Arizona. If they're getting 3.5 at home, that's tough not to turn down. But, yeah, that's what we got tonight. That's a little bracketology update, a little college hoops update. I love college basketball, man. I really do. And we're getting into the really fun portion of the year. It only gets better from here as you start to have your battles for the tournament. You start to really have your battles on the bubble. You know, you get closer to conference tournament action. I love it, man. Can't wait. So,
I love college basketball, too. It's great, especially March, man. But, like, the lead up to March, yeah, it's so good. So much passion.
From here on out, from here until April 6th, I think that's when the national championship game is. From here to April 6th.
I don't know. Our season's non-stop usually over around fun. March 20th.
Non-stop fun every single night. And we're here for it on the Blitz. Got to take a break on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us on the other side. And I can't get enough. The way you look, I forgot him. The sun and the sand. Got to say, GP3, I really like the vibes you've been putting out here today.
I told you, man. The weather coming out feels warm.
Is it going to stay warm?
Probably not.
It's not going to stay warm.
You got to enjoy it while it's here.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I haven't checked the weather forecast.
This weekend, Saturday, a low of 19. Sunday, a low of 17. Man, if only Chance were here to...
See, for me, it's like once football ends, I'm ready for it to get warm again. Like, I'm ready for baseball weather.
Yeah,
as soon as football's over, and with the Titans losing, football's over for me. Like, I'm still going to watch, but, like...
You're going to watch the championship games this weekend?
I won't be able to, because I'll be driving, but I'll probably keep tabs on them. If I wasn't driving, I would. So, like, if I make it home in time, I'll watch the late game.
I think I can maybe stomach the NFC. There ain't a chance in hell I can watch the AFC.
Would you be rooting for the Bengals? As like, are you one of those guys like you want the team that beat you to go all the way?
Not necessarily.
I'm
It's always contextual.
I'm not, because if the team that beat my team goes all the way, it just proves to me that we should be that team that goes all the way. That's just how I view it. So, and I got a pretty big futures ticket on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. So,
it's always contextual for me. Like, I don't like the Chiefs at all.
Like when Loyola Chicago beat us and then made the run to the Final Four. Oh, that just made
when Loyola Chicago beat us and made the run to the Final Four. I was hoping that they got beat by 70 a game.
Yeah, me too.
I keep tabs on every Loyola basketball game to this day. Hoping that they lose. They actually got upset as the number 22 ranked team over the weekend. They lost by 10 to, I believe it was Southern Illinois. I don't know, but they did lose. So, ha! Suck it, Ramblers. I'll probably root for the Bengals this weekend, though. As much as root is even a strong word. I guess if the Bengals won, I might smirk. Like that would be how I put it.
Just I would be happy for Bengals fans because it's been pure misery for them for 30 years.
I like my guy Chad Fields on Twitter. He makes good jerseys. He's a Bengals fan. There's this guy I always talk to in the parking lot at my apartment that's a Bengals fan. You know, a couple friends are Bengals fans, so good for them, I guess.
Like
but
I said,
more
I,
than anything, like you have your future, so obviously
futures,
that's what you're rooting
ticket,
for.
So I'm going to be rooting for the Chiefs.
For me, I have a Rams futures ticket, so maybe I don't want the Chiefs in there just – in general, because that's a worse matchup. Also, I don't want to watch the Super Bowl with the Chiefs again. I've seen it 2 years in a row. I don't want to see it a third year.
Were the Chiefs in the Super Bowl last year?
Yeah, they lost to the Buccaneers. Remember?
Were they in it the year before?
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Okay, so it was the year before that was when they lost.
They lost in the AFC Championship.
They lost to the Patriots in the
AFC Championship. Then the following year, they won the Super Bowl after beating the Titans. Because
we lost to the Chiefs in the AFC
Championship. Last year, they got embarrassed by the Buccaneers because they didn't block anybody.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want to see him again. I do like Joe Burrow. Joe Scheisty. Joe Cool. Joe Burr. I didn't have it in me today.
I like Joe Burrow, but the media is doing their thing where they start overhyping somebody, and then they just become annoying and...
He's just, I don't know, seems like just a genuine, nice guy. It's good to see, I don't know, someone like him succeed. But so, yeah, I guess I'll be okay with the Bengals, I guess.
I'm rooting for the Chiefs just because I got money on it.
That's fair. But that's where we're at with the NFL.
Yeah.
It's dead to me. As far as I'm concerned, I'll watch the Super Bowl because I like the commercials.
Well, do you want to shift gears in and start talking about baseball some?
Yeah.
So
baseball's in a lockout. Hall of Fame voting, not in a lockout.
Well, two things regarding baseball. They did have a meeting yesterday between the Players Association and the owners. Lasted about 2 hours, which was good because the previous meeting lasted less than 5 minutes. So that's good. I think they're supposed to be meeting again today. Not sure, but things might be headed in the right direction to where we might get an MLB season that starts on time. Who knows? I hope so. But other than that, we find out who will be inducted into the MLB Hall of Fame today. And there is one name in particular that is in his last year of eligibility for the Hall of Fame.
So I'm a big MLB guy. I'm a big baseball guy.
Me too.
But I'll be honest, I have completely slacked on keeping up with this year's Hall of Fame ballot and what's going on with it. So please enlighten me, GP3.
So big names on the ballot this year. Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez, Billy Wagner, one of the best closers of all time, probably the second best closer of all time behind Mariano Rivera.
I can get behind that.
Ryan Howard, Phillies legend. Todd Helton, Tennessee legend. And then you got guys like Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, David Ortiz, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, Gary Sheffield, Andrew Jones. And then you got some other guys too, like Prince Fielder, Bobby Abreu.
Good old Prince Fielder, baby.
Tim Hudson, Torrey Hunter, Andy Pettit, AJ Pierzynski, people who are probably not going to be on the bracket or the ballot after this go around because they're not going to receive the minimum number of votes. But yeah, big names. Barry Bonds is in his last year of eligibility. Curt Schilling is in his last year of eligibility. And Roger Clemens and Sammy Sosa are also in their last year of Hall of Fame eligibility.
One more time. Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa.
Curt Schilling.
Curt Schilling.
Barry, and Jim, Sammy Sosa, Curt Schilling, Roger Clemens, and Barry Bonds. Those four are in their last year.
Do you think any of the four of them get in?
No. Like, this isn't my opinion. This is what I think will happen, and I don't think any of them will. Like, the numbers have been trending up year by year for these guys, but not trending enough to where they would get into the Hall. I could possibly see Barry Bonds sneaking in because you got to get the 75%, I believe is what it is, 75% of the vote. I just think there's a lot of people, the writers, they take the Hall of Fame seriously, and his legacy is tarnished.
Where do you stand on steroid users and the Hall of Fame?
I don't think Barry Bonds and the bunch should get in. That's my personal opinion. I think they tarnish the game. My favorite player of all time is Chipper Jones, and he played the game the right way. He never did steroids. And now if it came out that he did, he would be dead to me.
Oh, that's strong.
Yeah, because he played the game the right way. He was my hero growing up. And to see somebody like him play the game the right way, there's a reason he was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Sammy Sosa was my hero when I was a little kid. So it was pretty heartbreaking to see the steroid stuff happen to him. I even like cut out a picture of him and put him in a family portrait when I was in like preschool. I loved Sammy Sosa more than anything in the world. Him and Moses Alou batting back to back when I was a little kid. I loved it. However, I do agree with you. I don't really feel strongly about it. Like if you asked, if you said, Charlie, make the decision. Can guys that, you know, that cheated basically, that used steroids, should they get in the Hall of Fame? I'd say, I guess not. But if they get in, like, I don't feel strongly enough about it to be mad about it either.
Well, see, for me, too, as a Braves fan, I have a strong connection with, like, Hank Aaron. So to me, Hank Aaron's the true home run king.
Yeah, because I agree with that.
So I don't know. There's just something about Barry Bonds. Like, if he wouldn't have taken steroids, I still think he's a Hall of Fame player. I think his numbers were good enough before he started using steroids that he would have gotten in the Hall. But the fact that he used them just tarnishes everything, in my opinion. And I know there's people that feel differently. The steroid era did, in a way, save baseball, according to a lot of people. But I think it just takes away from the people who played the game the right way.
So who do you think does get in tonight?
Man, see, I don't know if anybody is. That's the thing. We had, I think last year nobody got in. I'm looking at the list right now. I do think Andrew Jones is a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's going to get in right now. I think he gets in before his time on the ballot's over. But I do think Andrew Jones is a Hall of Famer. I think Billy Wagner is a Hall of Famer. Don't know if he's going to get in this time, but Billy Wagner deserves to be in the Hall. David Ortiz will get in.
I think David Ortiz gets in as well. You need 75% to get elected, obviously. And Curt Schilling last year came closest at 71.1%. He needed 16 more votes. It is his final year.
It's possible he gets in.
I kind of feel like he might get the final 16 he needs.
And what's holding Curt Schilling back
is
his off the field stuff.
Yeah.
Not steroids.
No stranger to controversy.
Just his controversial opinions, which I think is so ridiculous that MLB takes that into account. The writers are so full of themselves.
A player usually receives a final year boost, but via Ryan Thibodeau's Hall of Fame tracker, the public ballots who reveal their, you know, the voters who reveal their selections before the results are announced tonight, he's dropped to 60.7% through the 168 ballots revealed. So it doesn't really feel like maybe he does get in.
Oh, Tim Lincecum's on this ballot. I just realized that. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he was a good player during that five, six-year stretch. Jonathan Papelbon's on the ballot. But no, I think David Ortiz definitely gets in. I think he's a lock. And then, like I said, I think Billy Wagner's a Hall of Famer. I don't think he gets in this go-round, but he will.
He should be.
And I think Andrew Jones is a Hall of Famer. And that's not even just my Braves bias. I mean, you look at the numbers. He's got numbers up there with people who are already in the Hall, if not better. He's just being held back for some reason. I don't know if it's because he had a shorter career than some other people, but
right now Ortiz is sitting at 83% with 45% of the ballots revealed, which is a strong indicator that he probably does get in. But then again, last year, you did have Barry Bonds, for example, receive 73% of the public ballots, but then 42% of the private ballots to leave him short. Your other big storylines, though, like you mentioned, will Bonds and Clemens make it? How will Rodriguez fare?
Yeah, I don't think A-Rod's
I don't think
in.
He's getting in, but, you know, we'll see how he continues to climb. And then Scott Rowland and Todd Helton, you know, will they continue to climb? Rowland's polling at 70%, Todd Helton at 59%. So, you know, I think
Helton gets in eventually.
And I think Rowland.
I think he does, too.
Does, should. And then we'll see, too, what happens with Vizquel, Omar Vizquel, and Andrew Jones. Vizquel got 49% of the vote last year. Jones, 33%.
Teixeira's not a Hall of Famer.
But
A.J. Pierzynski's definitely not a Hall of Famer.
Looking forward to seeing what we see tonight, though. It's
yeah,
always,
me, too. I'm excited to see.
Yeah. What, it's on MLB Network, I assume?
Yeah, I think they're releasing the ballots at 6.
So we'll see that tonight. Thank you for staying on top of that, giving those updates, GP3. Down to the end of things here, we got one segment left on the show. When it has, as we always do, with a little If You Haven't Heard on the other side here on Fan Run Radio.
When I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a
final segment of the Blitz here on this surprisingly warm, beautiful Tuesday. Gonna end the show how we always do with a little If You Haven't Heard. GB3, I got a funny story for you. Well, I don't know, this one teeters on funny and icky. But take you to Crockett, Texas, where a woman was arrested for allegedly attempting to purchase what?
In Texas?
In Walmart. She tried to purchase something, which led to her arrest.
A worker?
Not honestly that far off. She tried to purchase another woman's child.
Oh, wow. I think that's worse.
While they were in the self-checkout line. The incident happened last week, and police records show that Rebecca Lynette Taylor, 49, of Crockett, was detained and charged with the sale or purchase of a child, a third-degree felony. She's being held on $50,000 bond. An affidavit of probable cause described how the mother of the child said that a woman with blonde hair approached her, wanting to purchase her son. She said she was waiting to use the self-checkout. She had a baby in a car seat and her one-year-old in the cart when Taylor walked up and began commenting on her son's physical appearance. She then asked how much she could purchase him for, and when the mom tried to laugh it off, Taylor told her that she had $250,000 in the car and she would pay that much for him. When the mother said no and, you know, tried to just avoid the topic and get away, she upped the price to $500,000. Because she wanted him and said that she was going to take him. At that point, the police were called. The woman was arrested. But just a weird story.
Man, I don't even know how to respond to that. First off, it sounds like a Florida man story.
Yeah.
Feels
like that should be happening in Florida.
And second, like, we all know that human trafficking is a very real, serious issue in the U.S., but for somebody to just come up and, like, offer to, like, I've never heard of them coming up and, like, trying to offer to buy a
makes
child.
You wonder if it's ever been successful.
I would think so. If
at
like
least don't hear about it.
If she's offering $250,000, $500,000 for a child, I'm sure she's done it before.
What a crazy thing this happened. But we're up against it. So I mean, before
that,
we get out of
crazy.
Here.
Like, yeah. That blows my mind.
Before we get out, I saw it pop up. I was like, Gotta bring that one up. Your days of the day. It's National Plan for Vacation Day. National Opposite Day. Oh.
It's Opposite Day.
It's Opposite Day and we didn't even know it. Darn it. National Irish Coffee Day. Love Irish coffee. best way to start out a weekend.
Is that like just putting Jameson in your coffee?
Yeah, or like Bailey's.
Oh.
And it's a state day. GP3, any guesses?
Utah.
It is National Florida Day.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, they can celebrate now before they lose tomorrow. That'll do it for us today on the Blitz. Chance should be back with us tomorrow. Full crew in the house. Talk Sports, they're up next. Stay tuned in to Fan Run Radio.